Life is a journey. Some use what is seen as their roadmap for that journey, while others reach for the unseen to help guide them. That unseen is called by some people intuition, feeling, as well as belief. A more accurate label, at least I think, is faith. My next guest has led a life certainly full of the seen, much of which was seen by many other people. It was her search for an understanding of that unseen, which in a way was the mystery of life that she was seeking to see the answers to. She writes about this search intertwined with the many monumental events of her life in her new book, Finding Magic, a spiritual memoir. She's a longtime Washington Post journalist and columnist, television commentator, best-selling author, but maybe even more importantly than all that, a passionate seeker, Sally Quinn. Thanks for being here today, Sally.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And website that Sally has put a lot of effort in, I think you'll find gain a lot of benefit from, onfaith.co. That's onfaith.co. When on the topic of faith, when we realize true faith, does it help us look forward with more strength or back with greater understanding and appreciation, and we build on that?
Well, for me, it was both, really. I mean, because I became an atheist at a very young age when my father was in the military and fighting in World War II, and he liberated the concentration camp Dachau and took pictures of all these bodies and emaciated people and made a scrapbook, and I discovered it, and I confronted my father, and I said, did God know about this? And he said, yes, he did. And I said, how could he let this happen? And my father said, well, God works in mysterious ways. Well, all I could think about were all of these poor little Jewish children in the concentration camps and their parents, and they were praying to the same God I was praying to every night. And so it became clear to me at age four that there could be no God. And so at that age, of course, I didn't know the word atheist, and I was ashamed to tell anybody that I didn't believe in God, but I didn't. I stopped believing in God. And it wasn't until I started writing this book, until Ben started failing, that I began to realize. When I started On Faith, the website, 11 years ago, I was still an atheist. But I was fascinated by religion. I had been really taken by it, and partly because my friend John Meacham, who was editor of the Newsweek, had gotten in a big argument with me at lunch one day and told me I was not an atheist. And he said, that's a negative word, and you're not a negative person, and you don't know anything about religion. You really need to start studying it. And so I did, and it was after that that I suggested we do a religion website for the Washington Post. And so that started, and it was interesting, the timing. And I only realized this the other night when somebody pointed it out to me in an interview, a friend of mine, that the year I started On Faith was the year that Ben was diagnosed with dementia, my husband Ben Bradley, who was the editor of the Washington Post. And it was clear that I, even as an atheist, and John Meacham had said to me, how can you be an angry atheist if you don't believe in God? How can you be angry at God if you don't believe in God? And so it was clear at that moment that I began to lose Ben, that I felt that I needed something more. And I had interviewed millions of people, not millions, but many, many people during my years at On Faith about God, and always asked them, what is the meaning? You know, who is God? Explain God to you. And I never got the same reaction or the same answer from anybody. And so I began to think, you know, what God is so personal to everybody. You can put 3,000 people in the National Cathedral or a mosque or a synagogue, and every one of them will have his or her own relationship with faith or with God. And I began to sort of have these spiritual experiences, which I realized that I'd been having all the way through my life. And so as I got closer and closer to Ben's death, the last 2 years, I literally spent taking care of Ben. I didn't work at all. I did nothing but just take care of Ben. Was a really difficult time, but also probably the most spiritual time I've ever spent in my life. And oddly enough, Ben and I were happier during that time than I'd ever been in my life. And that what I realized was that I was feeling fulfilled, and I was feeling loved, and I was feeling needed. And Ben was a very tough guy. You know, he was a swashbuckling macho guy, and he didn't like the idea of being weak or not being able to take care of himself. But in those last 2 years, he really let go and allowed me to take care of him and to love him and allowed himself to be dependent on me. And I realized that that had given my life more meaning than anything I'd ever done, except to take care of my sick child when he was younger and had heart defects and learning disabilities. And that what really gave my life meaning and gave me faith was the idea that I was the idea that I could take care of people I loved. And that was just a huge breakthrough for me in sort of discovering what was meaningful to me, what I needed in my life. And it was about love. You know, Ben was he was participant in this grant study at Harvard, and Jack Kennedy was also in the study. They took four classes. And they studied these guys all the way through their lives. They're mostly dead now. And they filled out a form every year and very meticulous about their health and their relationships, their marriages, their children, their work. And this guy, George Valiant, who did the study, wrote a book about it. And he said, in the end, after studying these guys all of their lives, that he came to the conclusion that there was only one way to happiness, and that was love, full stop. And that is what gave me faith. I'm not a practicing Christian. I don't belong to any. I'm a Christian with a small c, I hope. I try to be. But I don't practice any religion. I've just taken things from different religions and different faiths, which I really like. And there's a wonderful book called A Religion of One's Own, which was a real eye-opener for me, because it basically was saying you don't have to believe in one particular religion. You can have your own religion and your own faith. And that's what I've got, is that I have my own faith. I believe that there's a creator. I can't wrap my mind around the idea that first there was nothing and then there was something. And I believe that there's something bigger than we are, and then that I believe in transcendence and being in touch with the divine. And, you know, what I finally realized was that all religion is magic. And if you believe that Christ walked on water or that he rose from the dead, that's magic. And that all through my life there had been these moments, these little epiphanies, these moments of illumination or understanding that were really magical. And that I finally came to the conclusion that my religion was magic.
Talking with Sally Quinn with her new book, Finding Magic, A Spiritual Memoir. OnFaith.co is her website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Do you think, too, if we realize the moment at the time those moments are happening, those magic moments, if we were aware of their true power and purpose, that we might actually screw them up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never been asked that before, and I don't know. I mean, I think because what I did when I wrote the book, I mean, I was asked to write the book about my starting a religion website, and I couldn't write it because Ben suddenly started his decline, and so I did nothing until after he died, and then I started writing about him and immediately wanted to write about his demise, I mean, his decline and his death. And so then after I wrote that, I started back at my childhood and wrote about these moments that came to me that all had some magic. And the fact was that I didn't realize it at the time. You know, I didn't realize that that was what was happening. And in fact, when I finished writing all of these stories, I then saw that there was a thread, and it was like dropping little breadcrumbs through the forest, that I had found my way to faith and to magic through all of these many little epiphanies that I'd had. And then I went back and wrote at the end of each one of these stories what it was that I had gotten out of it. What was the magic there? You know, what was the moment of recognition or the moment of being in touch with the spiritual or the divine? So the answer is, what I try to tell people is that every day that you're living, just look for these magic moments, because they're there. No matter how awful your life is or how you're suffering or what terrible things happen to you. I mean, I had a lot of tragedies in my life, and you know, my son was sick for 16 years and had open heart surgery and nearly died and was learning disabled, and And yet, through all of that time, there were these wonderful moments of magic in my life, and all based on love. And I wish now that I had seen those moments for what they were at the time. And I'm now so aware of everything that happens to me that's magical. My son and his fiance moved in with him, and they have the house next to, connected to mine, and her 5-year-old daughter and their dog, Teddy Roosevelt. And I was sitting at the kitchen table one Sunday morning, and Chloe, the 5-year-old, the adorable child, came dashing through the kitchen with a mask on and sort of darting around and hiding behind doors, and Teddy Roosevelt following her, and they walked, they ran round and ran, round and round the island in the kitchen, and then they darted out and disappeared. And I just thought, that's magic, you know? That was just a magical little moment, this wonderful child and this adorable dog, and they're in my life now, and what, how happy it made me. I wouldn't have thought that way before. You know, I just have found a new way of looking. You know, everybody talks about gratitude, and it's gotten to be a sort of a cliche. But the fact is that, you know, it really helps if you think about the things that you're grateful for. And, you know, I remember when Quinn was so sick and spent nearly 16 years on and off in the hospital, and I lived in the hospital with him many times, and I'd go to the hospital, and I'd feel really sorry for myself. And I'd get in the elevator, and one day I saw this little boy, and he was in a wheelchair and just completely emaciated, and he had a shaved head, and somebody was pushing him around with an IV, and he was clearly had cancer and clearly dying. And I thought, how can I feel sorry for myself when this child is dying of cancer? And it was like the man who felt sorry for himself because he had no shoes until he saw the man who had no feet.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I think that way every day now. I just think I wake up in the morning and think how lucky I am to have had all of the wonderful things that I've had in my life. And I think if you can think of the things that are good in your life and think of the things that are magical in your life, it really makes a huge difference.
And you also learn, too, very quickly that the separation between fate and faith is not as wide as too many people think it to be. We have to wrap up here now, unfortunately, but Sally tells some wonderful stories, some great stories, too, about her career, her pioneering days, both at the Washington Post as well as at CBS News. It wasn't the happiest times, but it was times to be learned from.
And there were moments of magic.
That's right. Just as every element of life should have.
Yes.
You learn, too, about that lost part of life, about caring for someone in their declining days, which, well, we always think nothing can prepare us for that, and it comes suddenly. But when you read Finding Magic, a spiritual memoir by Sally Quinn, and all she shares about her dealing with her husband's stretch to his final days, you wind up getting some lessons and preparation. If you're in that point of life, too, some lessons I think will strengthen you and show you just how to make that connection before you lose a connection, strengthen it before you lose it. Because there is no such thing, at least through faith and emotion, as an end. Unfortunately, too many people think it that way, but I think that's one of the lessons, too, you'll gain from Finding Magic, a spiritual memoir, that a search has its purpose. Time is not always in our control. It's when we're ready to receive, not when we want to receive, and what we dismiss as the supernatural is, in fact, a gift from whichever spiritual source you happen to believe in. But nevertheless, indeed a gift. Learn more about the topics that we talk about here on faith.co. And again, the book is Finding Magic, a spiritual memoir. Sally Quinn, thanks so much for the way you literally and figuratively have made your life once again an open book. And thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.